Hey, I want to welcome you to this episode titled How to Have Strong Legs in the Fourth Quarter. And basketball players use those specific words when they ask me, basically, how do I have stamina? How do I have endurance? How do I feel better in the fourth quarter and not feel tired? So this episode, we're going to talk about conditioning. We're going to break down the energy systems that are used in basketball. We're going to talk to you about why cardio actually makes you a slower basketball player and why you need to avoid that at all costs, but that there are better alternatives and there are better ways to train and to condition your body so that you feel strong and dominant in the fourth quarter. You feel fast and explosive. So sit back and check this episode out, and thanks for tuning in. Cool. So welcome to podcast episode number 7. With me always is Sean Sinisi.
How are we doing?
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about conditioning for basketball. How do you stay 100%? How do you stay fresh deep into the game? Third quarter, fourth quarter, especially if you're logging a lot of minutes, how do you keep your legs? And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because, again, a lot of these topics that we're picking is just from people asking questions, from people just DMing me and saying, hey, what do I do for conditioning? In the group, you know, people comment, hey, what's going on with conditioning? How do I feel strong in the fourth quarter? That's the word a lot of people use, is how do I make my legs feel strong in the fourth quarter? And what that basically comes down to is conditioning. You're fatiguing yourself. You're draining your batteries. At the end of the game, you don't have any legs. You don't have any gas in the tank. Your first step feels slow. You can't get up to the rim like you normally can. So we're going to really kind of break down what that looks like and how to improve it. But first, Sean, what's going on with you lately? Anything training wise? You've been PRing a lot lately.
Yeah, well, that was a high intensity, low volume phase. So it looks like I'm back on a higher volume, lower intensity. So that last week of training, I was in like the 90 to 95% RM range. And this week I'm back into like the 80% range. So I'll climb back up with better weights than I had last time I was in the 80% range. So I can keep kind of grinding.
Nice. Nice. Cool. I'm finally settled in here with my own training, and my old training buddy, he's the one that lives in the next town over from me. He's the reason we moved here, at least picked this area once we visited it a couple months back. So it's been fun. We've been able to train two times a week together, and then two times a week I'm going on my own. So it's been fun to get back, with my buddy Gary. So that's been cool for me in my training.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So let's get into it. So I'm going to share my screen right away. And we're going to get right to the chase. So I wrote an article here back in May when COVID was really at its peak, if you want to say, how to stay in game condition during quarantine and why cardio makes you slower.
Love it.
And I love that because I love how it kind of inspires a thought in people's brain of, wait a minute, I need cardio. I need to have endurance. They use that word a lot of times. I need to have stamina. They use that word a lot of times. So that in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, I have energy. My legs feel strong. And why I wanted to bring this up is I wanted to show you that when we're talking about conditioning, we have to talk about energy system usage. And what do you use? What does your body use to produce energy in a given situation? In this case, we're talking about basketball. And so as you can see here, 20% of your 20% of your game is anaerobic lactic. 60% is anaerobic alactic, and 20% is aerobic. So what you do in terms of your training needs to be based in terms of priorities pretty much around this model. 60% of your stuff needs to be anaerobic lactic, 20% needs to be anaerobic lactic. What does that mean? Well, let's go to what are these energy systems and why are they important? Hello. There we go. So when you look at the energy systems, this is a very simple, very simplified chart. And we know that you're always running all three of the systems. It's just kind of like they're all kind of doing this.
You know? Dimmer switches.
Yeah, yeah. Some's going up, some's going down, you know, throughout the course of a game. Here's a trivia question, though. I thought this would be fun. And I know I can't hear your answers, but I'm going to give you a second to think about it. That anaerobic alactic, that energy system, how much energy is basically your storage, okay? How much energy does your body store? How much time, sorry, does, wow, how do I word this? Your body stores enough energy to work for how long? That's the question. So right now, Sean, right now, me, you who are watching, you have enough energy stored in your body to work for how long a period of time?
Oh, depends on the, okay, I'll give them time to think, but that might be a trick question.
Give them a second. Typically, it's 3 seconds. And if we go to, let's see if the screen share. So if we go to, so there's different names. I call them anaerobic alactic, anaerobic lactic, and aerobic. A lot of times online, you'll see the ATP-PC or the adenosine triphosphate phosphocreatine center system. You can see right here, the duration is 1 to 5 seconds. So about 3 seconds of work is all that you have stored up. After that, your body's got to start putting coal on the fire. It's got to figure out, how do I make this energy? Because this guy's still running up and down the court. He's still trying to run and jump. How do we train to be strong in this system and strong in this system collectively for basketball? Because there's 80% of our basketball games are stored there. But most people are thinking, it's an endurance thing. It's a stamina thing. I need to go out and run 3 miles. I need to go out and run 4 miles. Now I'm going to stop there because I've been monologuing here for a minute, Sean, and I'm sure you already have some things you want to chime in on. And I love when you the info that you share. So what's going on in your brain right now as we're talking about this?
So in my brain, I like trying to give an overall picture so that the grand scheme makes sense. And so when we're saying energy system development and we're saying, you know, conditioning and like, what does energy system mean, right? So let's break this down. Basically, the energy system is how your body breaks food down for energy. So when you eat carbohydrate, you get an energy source. When you eat fats, you get an energy source. When you eat proteins, not really an energy source, more of a building material. Or when you take other types of nutrients, they break down at different speeds. And that nutrient source is available either really quickly or really, really slowly. And so when we're looking at these energy systems, they all relate to a macronutrient, which is how your body digests the food to create what we call ATP, which is the currency exchange for energy. So you break food down into ATP, you send ATP through certain cycles like these cycles. And the more ATP you have, the more energy you have, but that's based on what system is active. So,
yeah.
It's pretty much how our food breaks down and how readily available the nutrients are, which is where these systems sort of come from.
Right. Here's what you were talking about with the fuel sources.
Yeah, they're basically fuel sources. So like Phil said, I like the ATP PCR system. That's the anaerobic alactic glycolysis or glycolytic system is what I call the short-term anaerobic lactic, or the oxidative system is what I call the aerobic or long-term. And so to Phil's point, we need to train these systems the same way they're used in a game. And so it's not just stamina or endurance building. The better term for that is energy system development. And so we can specifically target each of these energy systems by how we train. And so I'm sure we'll get into that pretty well, but there's different training for each of these different systems so that we can adapt them specifically to our sport. So this is what some coaches might call like sport specific conditioning.
Right. Yeah. And to your point, it can't stress it enough. And this really is what helps people a lot of times realize more what we're talking about, because it's easy for me and you to talk about because we've studied this. It makes sense to us. Basically, when you're working in one of these energy systems, you are training your body to be more efficient at using a specific fuel. So if your training is over here in the aerobic energy system, I'm pointing at the screen like you guys can see me. So if you're training over here at the aerobic energy system, you're training your body to use a certain fuel. If you're training in the lactic acid energy system, you're training your body to use a certain fuel and to use it efficiently. So again, it all goes back to one of the very basic of principles that you learn as a strength coach, as a personal trainer, like day one. It's the SAID principle, S-A-I-D, specific adaptation to impose demand. Your body will adapt to the demands that you impose on it.
Yes.
And so we need to impose the right demands. And what are those right demands? Well, we know that 20% is anaerobic lactic, 60% is anaerobic alactic. So the majority, again, there's 20% aerobic, and we're going to get to that. But the majority of our work, 80% in fact, should be anaerobic. And you see the word aero there in aerobic. It basically means oxygen. There's oxygen available. Anaerobic, you're in that high energy system. You can't maybe finish a sentence without taking a breath. Like you're working really hard, okay? Or you're working really fast, one of the two. And so we really need to spend our time there.
If you want to bring up that other chart, Phil, I think the blue one, we can kind of give them a deeper understanding, I think, of the energy systems and then kind of how they play out. Yeah. Oh, that's really hard for me to read.
You want me to zoom in? There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. So you guys will see the ATP PC system is what we call the
anaerobic alactic.
Anaerobic alactic, but so it has all the different alternate names in there. It shows the fuel source. So when we're talking about energy system, the fuel source, like Phil's mentioning, is super important. So the alactic or the ATP PC system uses a phosphocreatine, which is a very small, low energy yielding molecule. That's why the energy only lasts for 3 to 5 seconds. So this is like your max effort vertical jump or like your max effort step juke, the thing you snap on. It's imagine a match. And you're lighting a match and the energy doesn't last very long, but it burns really hard and very quick. And then as you go over, you see the lactic energy system or the anaerobic glycolysis. The energy source for this is glycogen, but we get glycogen from carbohydrates. So this is the energy system that your body breaks down for use is sugar. So anytime you have carbs, or that's why you see people with Gatorade, that's why there's sugar in Gatorade. So you can regenerate this system. So the sugar while performing or any sort of carbohydrate while performing directly fuels this anaerobic or lactic energy system. And you'll see the duration of work is a lot longer. So we're getting 5 to 60 seconds worth of work now. And so this is you sprinting down the court, you sprint down the court, you make a couple of passes, you make a step juke, and then you drive to the basket. That's maybe less than 60 seconds. And so the energy system responsible for that is going to be your glycolytic system. And then when you jog back to the other side of the court, you're not working very hard. This is going to be more of your aerobic or oxidative system that mostly metabolizes fat, because fat metabolism is a slow, arduous process. The carbon chains are really long. You got to chop them up all really slow. So fats are they're poor for quick effort because the energy takes too long to create. So that's why like any walking, standing, sitting, slow jogging is all going to use your aerobic energy system. So to Phil's point earlier was, hey, this is a stamina thing. You'll often see sport coaches, you know, just run laps and run and run and run and run and never get specific to the demands of the sport. And so this is where we can break these down. We can understand how long each of these are active. We can understand what macronutrient they use, and we can understand how much power we're going to get out of each of these. And that's going to let us know where we should target our training even more specifically.
Yeah, and the duration is really important because, you know, I've mentioned this in videos in the group before. Sean just alluded to it, but, you know, think about a basketball game, and you rarely will go 3 or 4 possessions in a row without a dead ball, without a foul, without a timeout, without a TV timeout, whatever you're dealing with. So the amount of work that you're doing is very short. And within that time, you might get up the court. If you're a post player, you might, you know, hang out on the block for a minute, plays on the other side of the court. You might be over here waiting for a screen, and then you come around and then you make a big hard cut coming off a screen or a guard comes up hard off of a down screen, shot fake, drive to the basket. These are where these big high intensity movements happen, and they need to be trained as such. And then though, you might have a dead ball. So then you can kind of pause and regenerate and get some energy back. And then you can go back and go hard again. And so if that makes sense, what we're gonna talk about is specifically for you and the application of training, how do you train this way? Well, this system, again, like Sean said, it's your vertical jump. It's your one rep max deadlift or squat. It's those movements that are, you know, between 1 to 5 seconds, you know, maximal effort things. Think about that. Your 40 yard dash. They require max effort, but they also require a lot of rest. So when this system burns out, which again is very quickly, that's when your body starts burning glycogen. And again, Sean goes back to, there's some fuel sources that are good for training. I'm a big fan of branched chain amino acids and essential amino acids while training and performing. But your training needs to be high intensity. Okay, so we've kind of covered that. There needs to be adequate rest periods. And what we need to do, I've mentioned this before as well, is we need to train in that energy system correctly. Okay, so we're going over that right now. And we need to train for power in that energy system. We need to work with max effort. And only then can we start to add the capacity or the endurance that you might think of in your brain, or the stamina that you might think of in your brain. So you're if I could use these terms loosely, you're basically your endurance in the lactic acid energy system and the ATP system are not very good if you're fatiguing by the third quarter or the fourth quarter. It's not for lack of running for miles and running 3 to 5 miles and training your body, because that uses a different fuel system, a fuel source. You need to use the proper fuel sources when you train. So we're going to train high intensity, just like in a basketball game, like you're making cuts. We're going to train with rest periods. And then typically in the off season, as our off season goes on, that's when we can maybe cut down rest periods a little bit. We can add sets. So instead of doing 10 sets of prowler pushes, for example, where do we have that, Sean? We were talking about that. I think
the slides I sent you, the text.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up in text. So let's see.
The anaerobic, maybe the AN.
Yeah, here it is. So a lot of people talk about different conditioning methods in their training. All right. What we know with conditioning is it needs to be specific to your sport. Now, it doesn't mean you have to play basketball, but it means basketball is a ground-based exercise, a ground-based sport. So if we're not going to go into it, but it's a closed chain movement. So you're pushing against an immovable object. So even though methods, and this is a general slide, says do a rower or a bike, we don't want to do any of that. We always want to be ground-based when we are conditioning for basketball. This will not train your body to recruit the muscle fibers in the correct
pattern.
In the correct pattern. It also will, you know, capillaries, density, things like that come into play. But basically, we want to be ground-based. Say what?
It's just less transfer.
Yeah, there's less transfer of energy. It might be good cardiovascularly. Yep. But if we're training for basketball, we got to be ground-based. So we're talking sprints. We're talking sled pulls and pushes. Okay, prowler pulls, prowler pushes. I love tire flips. The modified strongman training, where we're talking about farmer's carries, we're talking about tire flips, we're talking about sled pushes.
Barbell movements, if you want.
Say what?
Barbell movements, dumbbell, kettlebell movements, yeah. Really good.
Do these circuit style, as well as be on the court. We could do sprints on the court and things like that, but we need to be ground-based, and we need to stay in those energy systems where we're working really hard, and we might be out of breath, we can't finish a complete sentence, things like that. No more running 2 miles. No more running 4 kilometers, 5, 10 kilometers. It's bullshit. It will not get
preach.
You.
Preach. Preach.
Actually get you slower on the basketball court. So please stop doing it. If you're a coach, stop having your athletes do it. If you're an athlete, resist it and don't let your coach make you do it. I can't stress that enough. Now, if you are a brand spanking new athlete, or you're coming back from an ACL tear, maybe you've had 6, 8 months, 12 months off, 2 to 3 weeks of aerobic exercise is probably okay to set a base. But after 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks of, again, a very long layoff, maybe 6 months, maybe 10, 12 months, then we're starting to crank it up and we're starting to get back into those energy systems.
If I can, Phil.
Say what?
I said, if I can on this one, I can go into a little bit as some stuff. So if you look at this slide, the conditioning, it says anaerobic. So the anaerobic we know, we've already talked about, but the anaerobic is going to be that alactic. So both those like alactic energy systems. So you'll see here under concepts, the concepts is what you want to match. This is what we talked about earlier, the SED principle, specific adaptation. So as long as you match the concept of anaerobic conditioning, the method, like you said, you can do sprints or you can do pulls or you can do ground-based movement, circuit-based movement, as long as you follow the concept. So we're looking here, we're trying to get complex movements. So there's big multi-joint, multi-muscle, big, large body movements. If you look at the work to rest ratio, that's kind of where I jump in and that's kind of where I balance my conditioning. But if you watch the average play in basketball, you say, okay, I'm going to watch this player. I'm going to see how long he's got to sprint, how long his rest break is, how long he's got to sprint again. You can almost replicate a game by watching someone move. So I can say, okay, he ran, he sprinted, he made a cut, he passed the ball, he sprinted again. You know, he did 5 seconds of movement and then he got to wait 20 seconds before he got the ball again. So that's a 1-4 worked rest ratio. I worked for one part and I rested for 4 parts. And so that one part happened to be 5 seconds. So a realistic energy system development type routine might be, you know, I'm zigzagging or I'm doing like shuttle cuts for 5 seconds and then I get a 20 second break and then I'm back on hard. And if you see, it's 100% emphasize max speed, all reps. So it's not a lazy 5 seconds. It's a hard go. 5 seconds and then you get a 20 second break and then you repeat that for as long as a possession might last. Maybe there's 2 or 3 of those before you get a whistle call or the ball goes out of bounds or what have you. But this will be a very sports specific energy system development specific type of training. I can do sled sprints for 5 seconds. I can do cuts, lateral cuts, linear cuts, multi-directional cuts for 5 seconds. I can do a med ball slam or a med ball jump, you know, for explosive for 5 seconds and then wait 20 seconds and boom, you do that for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. I promise you, you're going to be cooked. You're going to need more rest than that. And there's a bunch of stuff and nuances, but that's the general concept is a work to rest ratio that matches your conditioning. So hopefully that makes more sense and you can kind of make that more applicable and that'll depend on position. Like Phil mentioned, if you're a post player, maybe you're hanging out on the edges or under the rim a little bit longer than someone who's got the ball and they're making more active drives to the basket. So you can get kind of creative and play with these depending on your position. But all you really got to do is imagine a game or watch a game and kind of see your position, how fast they're moving, how long they work, how long they rest. And then you can just pick a method that works for you or what equipment's available to you, what skill level you are. I mean, everyone can do a sprint. You know, I mean, I can go touch a line and run back. That's everyone can do that. You know, 10-yard sprint and back maybe takes you 3-4 seconds. So a pretty applicable to basketball and to be specific with our energy system development. And like Phil said, man, like if you guys are running and you guys are doing long, slow laps, that's going to make you slower. That's not going to train the system we need. It's training a different system, which acts inversely to the one we want. So not only are you missing the system, you're actually telling your body to do the opposite. So your body's going to try and drop muscle mass. It's going to try and drop weight because it thinks it needs to run longer. And it's hard if you're heavy. You know what I mean? That's why you see marathon runners, endurance, triathletes. They're all very thin, low muscle mass people. Yep. If you see, like, if you watch the Olympics, all the 10K runners, the marathon runners are very lean, skinny. They're not exploding anywhere. They're not sprinting anywhere. So you train that way, your body's going to find a way to make that training easier on itself. So it actually sends signals to stop protein synthesis, degrade muscle protein, and things like that. So it can actually hurt you if you do the wrong one.
And conversely, sprinters look pretty cut up, pretty ripped.
Oh, yeah.
Very lean, very muscular, both males and females. So one last thing before Sean and I have to go. The concepts that he's talking about here with the work rest ratio, this is what I was referring to earlier. And what my coach did so good, so well back when I was still training in our off-season conditioning is we did one thing is we did all makes. We didn't do shots per set. We did makes because in a game we're trying to make it. So every set went by makes. First couple weeks of the off-season, we had to go 6 makes. Next couple weeks, we had to go 8. Next couple weeks, we had to go 10. And then before the season, we had to go 12 makes. So we increased the sets. I think it was the third off-season I was working with him. He started going in a row. So I had to go 6 in a row, make 8 in a row. Like, it was really fucking hard. So that's on the court. But if we're on the court, that's one thing. If we're doing these sprints, if we're doing sled pulls and pushes and things like that, to improve our conditioning, when you first start the off season, you might need more rest time.
Sure.
So you're going to work hard for 10, rest for 50. The next week, maybe you might work for 10 and rest for 40, or work for 20 and rest for 50. But you can see now by the end, maybe your work is more than the amount of rest you're taking, or at least equivalent. So working for 20, resting for 20. Ideally, you're going to need more time. But if we're looking to improve our conditioning, if we're looking to train our body to be able to go when we don't have a full amount of rest time to recover and recuperate that energy, then we need to train accordingly. We need to tell our body, I'm not giving you enough rest time. I don't have enough time to rest because the ball's already going down to that court and I got to get my ass down there right now. So again, work might be 1 to 5 at the beginning of your off season, but by the end of the season, it should start to do something like this, if not totally pass and exceed your rest. But make sure that there is something in place for you when you're trying to improve your conditioning, which typically is off season, to take your work time up and your rest time down. And I hope that makes sense. Sean, I know you got to go. Any last things before?
So for these conditioning models, you guys, like I said, we mentioned a bunch of exercises you can do if you like medicine balls or sprints or sled pushes and rowers, things like that. But make it, you don't have to go 30 minutes straight through of 10 on 10 off. You can do a couple little sets. So maybe do 3 rounds of a 10-second sprint, and a 30-second rest. And maybe you repeat those 2 or 3 times. So you did 9 rounds of it and your total time, you can kind of link it up to how many minutes you're playing even almost. So if you're playing 20, 30 minutes a game, you can say, hey, I'm going to do 20, 30 minutes of conditioning and sort of map it out. But I wouldn't, I mean, just for practical purposes, if ideally you come to us and we'll help you program, but set it up in little groupings where maybe there's a whistle break and you give a minute between your rounds. And so you don't have to murder yourself, but you definitely want to start challenging yourself. The general rule of thumb, like Phil mentioned earlier, is your heart rate should be at a pace where you can't keep a full sentence. You should be hard, fast, short. That's the system we're after. So if you're not in that breathing zone, come on.
And I like what you said there, because a lot of guys, I mean, if you think about it, you're going to play 30 minutes a game, but that 30 minutes is over the course of 2 hours. Like, you're going to sit on the bench for 10 minutes, maybe. You're going to sit on the bench for 15 minutes, maybe, and get a big rest period and a big recovery. So don't think that you have to be, marathon man and go 10 on 10 off for 30. I think that's a really valid point, Sean. Any last finishing touches?
I think that was a good one, man. I think we covered a lot of that, but
covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Watch a game, time yourself, find out how, like, replicate it. Right. I mean, that's the best way to do it. Replicate it. See what your position's doing. Make it feel like a game. Maybe it's a movement. Maybe it's you'd make a cut and back, or like linear, lateral, multi-directional. Like, we can start getting real fun with conditioning. So it doesn't feel like you're just on a treadmill or on a bike. And it's, I mean, that sucks. Like, don't even really do that anyway. Maybe a little bit, but like Phil said, for a good aerobic base. But after that, I mean, the more specific we can get, the better off we'll be.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that helps y'all with the conditioning. Sean, thanks again for all your help, all your expertise. I appreciate every minute of it. And
of course, love it.
We'll see you guys next time.
Take care, guys.
Yep.